From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz-Peña with your state and local news update. State transportation officials are beginning a new study and winding down another one for two prominent road projects in Juneau, a second crossing between Douglas Island and the mainland, and improvements to a choke point highway intersection near the Fred Meyer. At the end of May, the Alaska Department of Transportation started looking for someone to study a second crossing. The two-lane Douglas Bridge is the only road across Gastineau Channel. That consultant is expected to produce a report by the end of 2022 that recommends options, weighed with environmental, community, and economic goals in mind. Contract proposals are due June 15th. The department expects to pay up to $1 million for the study with mostly federal money, plus some from the City and Borough of Juneau. This study is an early step on a long path to secure federal funding for the project. The Department of Transportation recently released a draft of a similar study that evaluates options for improving the intersection of Egan and Yandukan Drives near Juneau's Fred Meyer. The consultants recommend making three changes that would improve safety for motorists and pedestrians. First, build a traffic light in the intersection that signalizes existing traffic flows. That is, the light would allow left turns off of Egan Drive, but not left turns onto Egan Drive. Traffic crossing all four lanes of Egan Drive would still not be allowed. Second, extend the road behind Fred Meyer to the McDonald's Nugget Mall traffic light. And finally, build a pedestrian bridge over Egan Drive. The consultant's report includes rough cost estimates for each component. The road extension is far and away the most expensive element, making up two-thirds of the overall project cost. The consultants estimate building all three components would cost between $23 million and $47 million. The draft study is open for public comment until June 16th. You can read it at the Alaska Department of Transportation's website and comment by emailing eganyandukan@alaska.gov or by calling the project team at 907-465-1796. In another news, a group of Juneau residents who want to limit cruise ship traffic in town didn't get enough signatures to advance their proposed ballot initiatives. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports that now the group and their opponents are both looking to city officials for what comes next.
Wednesday was the deadline to turn in petition signatures of qualified Juneau voters. Instead of turning in booklets with thousands of signatures to the city clerk, Carla Hart delivered letters addressed to the Juneau Assembly.
We collected a substantial number of signatures, but we did not collect enough. The weather and the pandemic were daunting foes. We're confident with a little bit more time we could have achieved the number.
Hart wouldn't say how many signatures they managed to collect. Her group, Juneau Cruise Control, needed about 3,000 for each of their three proposals to go forward. The group wanted to ban cruise ships between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. and on Saturdays, and then beginning in 2026, ban cruise ships over a certain size. The letter Hart's group submitted asks the Juneau Assembly to impose some limits and for the cruise ship companies and tour operators to voluntarily limit their impacts.
We're going to give the city the chance and the industry to do the right thing. Okay. And if they don't, we'll be back. Well, we're not going away at all. We'll be around.
Right. Hart said industry opposition and a counter campaign also made signature gathering difficult. The group claims in its letters that some people were supportive but wouldn't sign because they feared blowback in their job or at their business or with their friends, neighbors, and relatives. After meeting with the clerk at City Hall, the group took press questions under a park shelter across the street. There weren't any big cruise ships in town, but Hart kept getting interrupted by trucks hauling shipping containers.
Areas that were not used for commercial tourism, and
these guys must be really happy there's no cruise ships right now.
Imagine buses, this,
yeah.
Laura Martinson is a downtown gift shop owner and co-chair of Protect Juneau's Future, which ran the Don't Sign campaign against the ballot initiatives. She says her group was overwhelmed with gratitude.
I don't think any of us expected this kind of groundswell of unity across the community, and we really heard the resounding voices of stakeholders far and wide.
Martinson says that includes local business owners, employees, native corporations, unions, and citizens without tourism ties concerned about a sustainable future for Juneau. Martinson says the failure of the ballot initiatives clears the way for discussion and work to continue on managing the growth of the visitor industry. City officials are beginning to work through a long list of recommendations from the Visitor Industry Task Force, whose work got put on a back burner when the pandemic struck last year.
The Visitor Industry Task Force did an enormous amount of work to lay the groundwork on how we should proceed and how we should best manage our industry moving forward.
Assemblymember Carol Treem chaired the task force. She says some recommendations, like extending seasonal barriers along sidewalks that keep pedestrians out of the street, have already been implemented. And she says the assembly will be ready to discuss creating a city staff position focused on tourism impacts soon. Meanwhile, Hart says volunteer support for her group grew from a handful at the beginning of the ballot initiative process to perhaps 50 now.
Next time, we'll start with a lot more power. If there's a next time.
There will be a next time.
I still have hope the assembly will do the right thing.
City codes may bar Juneau Cruise Control from trying ballot initiatives again for at least 6 months. Hart says that's fine by her. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And last Friday, Juneau had its first Women in Trans Skate event. Around 20 women, trans and non-binary identifying people gathered at the Pipeline to skateboard. K2O's Lindsay Merlini went to check it out.
It was a rainy and cold Friday evening in Juneau, that wet cold that gets in your bones. And yet people still showed up to the community's first ever Women in Trans Skateboarding session. Inside the Pipeline in the Mendenhall Valley, music played through a portable speaker, echoing off the graffitied walls. Skateboarders and a few roller skaters glided down ramps in the halfpipe. There were young kids there with the Zach Gordon Youth Center, young adults in their 20s, people who use she, her, they, them pronouns. Sarah Leggett works for Skate Like a Girl, the nonprofit that sponsored the event. She was very happy with how many people showed up.
Yeah, I'm stoked. This is, like, not at all what I was expecting. Like, the parking lot is full, and it's kind of shocking.
Sarah Leggett works for Skate Like a Girl, the nonprofit that sponsored the event. Skate Like a Girl aims to create an inclusive community through skateboarding. Normally, they only serve Seattle, Portland, and the Bay Area. But when the pandemic broke out, the nonprofit switched to virtual programming and let Leggett work outside those communities. When outdoor activities became safer, Skate Like a Girl started hosting in-person events again. And since she was in Juneau when this change happened, Leggett was able to bring the program to town. Leggett thinks it is important to have women, trans, and queer visibility in the skateboarding community.
Through Instagram, I started following Skate Like a Girl, Unity Skateboards, all these skater Instagrams, and just got really stoked on it. Finally seeing people that look like me. And I just went to a couple events, and I was like, yeah, this is where I want to be. It's like where I feel the most comfortable in my body.
People of all genders and abilities came to Leggett's event, including young kids who were learning skateboarding for the first time. This isn't how it normally is at the Pipeline when she comes to skateboard.
When I come to the park, it's like teenage boys and maybe some dads, but I rarely find a femme-looking person.
For Leggett, skateboarding is more about the community than the skateboarding itself. And seeing people identify similarly to her in that community is important.
If you go to the skate park alone as a woman or trans or non-binary, gender non-conforming person, and you just feel so isolated. And so I think it's really nice to have a sense of community, whether you've been skating for 15 years or 3 years, or today's your first day.
Leggett hopes to host future women in trans skate events once a month. And if the weather is nice, she might even have events outside. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
In other news, a critical lifeline for the southeast hamlet of Myers Chuck is sinking. The tiny community is about 50 miles south of Wrangell proper, but still within the borough boundaries. It's only accessible by boat or float plane, and the planes are especially important for mail deliveries or in the case of medical emergencies. But Myers Chuck's docks, including where float planes land, are slowly going under. Wrangell Borough Manager Lisa Von Bargen explained that sinking docks and airplane floats have a problem in Myers Chuck for around a decade. And she says Wrangell's government has failed to meet its obligation to do maintenance on the docks and floats. So to save the hundreds of feet of sinking dock, Myers Chuck residents made multiple repairs themselves. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.